So we're in Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we have a little bit more to get to the Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah had established that Mitzias Avdo V'Shivchoso Haknanim, and then it said Mitzias Avdo V'Shivchoso HaIvrim. So the Mishnah in the Reisha had the case of an Eved Knani, and then in the Seif an Eved Ivri. And the difference is that in the Reisha, in the case of Eved Knani, if he picks up a Mitzia, he's Zoch on behalf of the Adon of Rabbo. Masha Einkein, in the case of Eved Ivri, he's Zoch on his own behalf. And on that we had a sugya. How could he be Zoch on his own behalf? He would be Lechora the same as a Poel who was hired not for a specific Malacha but for the entire day. And with regard to such a Poel, the din is Mitzios Lebalabais. And the Eved Lechora, Eved Ivri, should be the same, identical as a poel who was hired for a hayom, for any malacha during the day. Any of that malacha is owned by the Adon. And the Gemara offered three answers very quickly. The first answer was Rabbi Chia, that we're talking about a case where the Eved was hired for one specific malacha, and we said that in that case the Adon gives up any ownership on any other malacha. So that was the case of Eved Nokev Margolius. The second answer was that of Rava, that we're talking about a case of Magbia Mitzia im Malachto, that he was able to do two things at once, simultaneously. He could synchronize his Malacha, whatever Malacha he's doing, and at the same time be Zochan the Mitzia without interrupting his Malacha. And although the Adon does own the Eved for all malachas, but he owns his time vis-a-vis malacha. And if, on the other hand, the Eved could do both his malacha and at the same time he could be Zochin the Mitzia, then he hasn't taken any of the time out of the Balabais' Rishus, and therefore he could be Zochin the Mitzia. And finally we had this, the understanding of Rav Papa, and we talk about a case where he was hired specifically to collect mitzios, and Rav Papa gives a whole, but here again Rav Papa is not redefining our Mishnah, he's redefining the Braisa. The Braisa said that if the Poel was hired for the day, then the Balabais is Zoche in the Mitzia, and that's against our Mishnah. So the answer is, when the Braisa said that the Poel was hired for the day, and in such a case the Balabais is Zoche in the Mitzia, that's a case where he's hired for a full day of collecting Mitzios. Like, for example, when the river overflows at the bank, it brings fish with it, and then when it goes back, the fish are left there on the ground, on the seashore, so to speak, and he hired this poel to collect that fish, those fish, which is a mitzia. Nobody owns it. It came straight from the river, Tefker. And in such a case, the poel has no right to collect the mitzia for himself and claim ownership, because he was hired specifically to pick up these fish for the Balabais. That's what he was hired for, Lekach Niskar. He was hired specifically, Limtzo Mitzios, and therefore the Mitzia belongs to the Balabais. And that's the case of the Braisa. Our Mishnah is talking about Stam and Eved Veshivcha. They were not hired specifically for Likut Mitzios, to collect lost objects, and therefore they can be Zoche and the Mitzios for themselves. So let's see where we're up to before we get to the new Mishnah, the two dots of High Shivcha. So that's about, what should I say, 15 lines down from the top of the page, and you'll see on the line itself starts with the word Dummy. So the Gemara asks the following. It says in the Sefer, the Mishnah, that if the Eved is an Eved Ivri, or the Shivcha is Yisraelis, which means that she's what's called an Om Ivriya, then if she picks up a Metziah, she's Zochin the Metziah for herself. And the Gemara is going to have trouble working out the logistics, exactly in what case or in what scenario would she be able to be Zocha in the Metziah for herself. Hefi Domi. Idi Aisi Shtei Saras, the halacha is that an Om Ivriya is only sold during her period of Katnus. But Narus is completely antithetical to Om Ivriya. And there's no yad, there's no rights to the father to sell her as an Om Ivriya past the age of Godless, which means when she becomes a Nara at the age of 12, if she has two Saros. So if our Shivcha, otherwise known as an Om Ivriya, is older than 12 years old and she has Shtei Saros, then the Mishnah says in Masechta Kiddushin, Kones Atzma B'simonin. And that means that she goes out L'cheiris. So how can we talk about a Shivcha if she already has Shtei Saros? That's impossible. So the whole discussion about whether she could be Zocha herself or not herself when she's a Shivcha, that would be irrelevant. So then by process of elimination, it must be that she's still a Ketana and she hasn't seen Shtei Saras. And therefore, the father has the ability to sell her as an Amma. And then the question is, let's say she finds a Metziah. So this is also impossible. Why? Because easily av, if she has a father, then the avua havya. We have a principle called binurea beis avia. Any shvach that she gets accrues automatically to the father. And here the Mishnah says that she's zochali atzma. So how do you reconcile that with the fact that she has a father and she doesn't have shtei saras? If she doesn't have shtei saras and she has a father, then her metziah goes automatically to the father. So how do you begin to understand the Mishnah which says that she's Zocha Liatzma? Elowat, the less of the Liav. So now what happens is she doesn't have Shtei Saras, she has no father, so she's left the father's Rishus. Yeah, but the only problem is that at the same time she leaves the Rishus of the Adon. Right? What happens? The father sold her as an Om Ivriya, and now the father dies. In such a case, just like Simonim on Motzi Om Ivriya, so the sale of an Om Ivriya is only valid until she becomes a Nara, means till she has two Saras. So too, the sale of an Om Ivriya is only valid until her father's death. Once her father dies, then she goes L'cheiris. So again, we can't find an Om Ivriya whose Mitziyasa is Li'atzma. Why? Because if she's past Shtei Saras, she has Simonim, then she's not an Om Ivriya. If on the other hand, she doesn't have Shtei Saras, then she has a father, then it's not Mitziyasa Li'atzma. And if she doesn't have a father, again, she's not an Om Ivriya, and she goes out L'cheiris. The Omer Reish Lakish, this is a Gemara in Kiddushin on Adav Tes Zayin. Om Ivriya Kones Atzma B'Misas Ha'av. So in other words, she was sold as an Om Ivriya, but she gets Cheres, she's Kones Atzma, once her father dies. And this is what Reish Lakish derives from a Kal V'Chomer. And I'm going to read to you the Kal V'Chomer. The Kal V'Chomer is not brought here in our Gemara. I'm just copying it from the Gemara in Kiddushin. This is Reish Lakish's Kal V'Chomer. Umasi Moni Naros. In the case that she has Simonim and she becomes a Nara, she leaves the Rishus of the Adon. In other words, she goes out L'cherus. V'ein kocham yofa lo tziyam Rishus Ha'av. What happens is that after she sees two Simonim, two Saros, she goes back into the Rishus of the father because she's a Nara. And the Torah says, Binureh Be'savir. So as long as she's a Nara, she goes back to the Rishus of the father, even though he had sold her as an Om Ivriya. So she leaves the rishus of the Adon, and she reverts back to the rishus of the father. Even though she brought simonim, she's still in the rishus of the father. Only after another 6 months pass by, and she becomes 12 and a half, and she's bogeres, only then does she leave the rishus of her father. Nevertheless, even though these simonim don't really accomplish all that much, so to speak, they only accomplish a halfway measure, they're motzias somi adon, so she goes cheres from the buyer, but on the other hand, she still is in the rishus of her father. And the reason for that, as I said before, is because with Simoni Naros, she goes L'Cherus, but she's still a Nara. And as long as she's a Nara, she's in the Rishus of her father. Misa Sa'av, Shekocha Yofa, Misa Sa'av will accomplish two things. Number one, it will take her out of the Rishus of her father completely, because... Okay, so this is a little bit more complicated. This is called Eina Via Morish... So maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit. But anyway, so again, if Shtei Saras takes her out of the Rishus of the Adon, even though it doesn't take her out of the Rishus of the Av, then Mises Av, which takes her out of the Rishus of the Av, certainly should take her out of the Rishus of the Adon. So then according to Reish Lakish, what's the Shivcha in our Mishnah? What case is the Mishnah dealing with? If her father already died, then she's not a Shivcha and she goes free from the Adon. If she had Shtei Saros, even if her father's alive, she goes free from the Adon. And not only that, if her father's alive and she didn't have Shtei Saros, then it's her father who picks up the Mitziah. Mitziyos is Lavia. So the Gemara answers, Lavi Tosev Reish Lakish. This is a rhetorical question. The Gemara actually rejects Reish Lakish in Masechta Kiddushin. Is therefore, the Gemara says, Nema Mehai Nami Tevi Tufta. So what the Gemara is saying is that it's true that we rejected Reish Lakish, but why don't we reject Reish Lakish? Yeah, the Gemara is going to reject the Kal V'Chomer in Masechta Kiddushin. But now the Gemara is asking, why do you reject the Kal V'Chomer and alone? That's all you did was reject the Kal V'Chomer. Why not reject Reish Lakish based on our Mishnah? There's no way, according to Reish Lakish, to justify our Mishnah that she could have she could be already at the point in other words, that she can't be at the point where her father died and still be a Shivcha. Again, if her father's alive, then if she doesn't have Simonim, then Mitzia goes to the father. If her father's alive and she has Shtei Simonim, she goes L'Cherus. Ella, what? You're going to have to say that her father died. Well, if her father died, then she goes out L'Cherus according to Reish Lakish. So there's no possible case in our Mishnah where the Mitzia of this Omavriya should be Liatzma, his name maybe Haid Nami Tevi Tuvta. So where it says, look, don't explain the Mishnah that we're talking about a case of a Shivcha whose father died. Liolam, the Isa Liat. Her father is alive and well. We said Mitzios Liatzma. How could it be Mitzios Liatzma if she doesn't have Shtei Saras and she's still a Ketana? Then her Mitzia automatically reverts to her father. So the Gemara answers, Umay, well, how do you interpret this Mishnah that says, Hare Heli Atzman Shelahen, which sounds like that she's Zocha on behalf of herself. No, that can't be. Lafuke Deraba, to the exclusion of her Adon. It doesn't mean that she keeps it for herself. Actually, it goes back to the father. But what the Mishnah wants to establish is that since the Omevriya is now an extension of her father's Yad, and therefore the Adon has no claim to her Mitzia, just like in the case of Eved. We said that in Eved Ivri, if he has his own Yad, so he could be Zocha Liatzmo, and again, we worked that out in three different ways. So too, in the case of an Omevriya, if she has a Yad, she's Zocha Liatzmo, and the Adon, the Rav, has no kinyan on the Mitzia. And here she has a Yad. Now you'll ask me paradoxically, what does it mean she has a Yad? She's only a Ketana. How could a Ketana have a Yad? The answer is she has a Yad on behalf of her father. So her father's alive. So Reish Lakish is not in a bind over here. We thought Reish Lakish was in a bind because her father is dead. No, her father is alive. knew if her father's alive, why is she zocha liatzma? She be zocha on behalf of her father, bin Rebbe Savia. And the answer is, she zocha on behalf of her father. Either Mishnah says shalahen, shalahen's coming lafuke, that it doesn't go to the Adon. So now, we can go back to the last part of the Mishnah. So let's just turn back for a moment to Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and we'll read the last part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the following, that Mitzias Ishto Shegersha, and this seems to be absolutely obvious, which the Gemara is going to ask the question of Pshita, if a man divorces his wife and she picks up a Mitzia, she Zocha in the Mitzia on her own behalf. Says the Mishnah, Afal Pi Shelo Nasan Ksuba. So there's a period of time between the Mises HaBaal and her collection of the Ksuba. If during that slice of time she picks up a Mitzia, you might think that since she hasn't paid her, he hasn't paid her the Ksuba yet, she hasn't collected her Ksuba, that maybe, and that's what the Gemara is going to try to analyze, she now is his arm, so to speak, her Yad is really his Yad, because he hasn't paid up the Ksuba yet. Kamashma, the Mishnah tells me, no. Once the get was delivered and she's no longer his wife, then she goes out to her own reshus, she has her own yad, despite the fact that he hasn't paid up the ksuba.
Does he have to still support her?
I think she'll be supported by the estate, if I'm not mistaken, at this point.
He died?
No, Grusha.
He didn't die.
Right.
So if... the whole idea of Ava, Rashi right. says, Rabbanan Tiknu Lemishem Ava. The idea of Ava is that he's supporting her, not the Ksuba.
Right. So is there Ava after he gave her the get? That's what I don't know.
Does he have to support her until he gives her the Ksuba?
That's the sugya that we're about to embark upon now. Uh-huh. Let's just read a few more lines in the Gemara and see if we can satisfy your curiosity. Gersha Pshita, if you already divorced her, what was the Havmina that the Mitzia should accrue to the husband after he divorced his wife? So this is called a Safek Gerushin. For example, if he gave her a get in a Rishus HaRabim, and the question is Karav Lo or Karav Lo, so the law is Amrav Zera Amr Shmuel Kol Mokum Shamru Chacham Megoreshes V'Eina Megoreshes. Whenever you have a Safek Gerushin, Bailo Chayav B'Mizonoseh. So you ask me, what's the deal after the get? So after the get, he no longer has to pay Mizonos, because that's Mishum Eva, and there's no Eva after the get. But in this case, it's a Safek. We're not sure if the divorce was valid or not. So in this case, who's the Motzi and who's the Muchzak? So before Rav Zera, I would have told you that she's the Motzi. I mean, she wants to come and collect Mizonos from him, you know, continue to support. He has a right to say, well, the get was Karav Lo, and therefore he's parted from Mizonos. Comes along Rav Zera, he says, no. Bailo Chayav Mizonos Ef. Why? So you can explain it in one of two ways. One way is to say that we have halach of muchzakus on the ishus, meaning that she has a cheskas ashes ish, and if he wants to exempt himself from paying mizonos, the burden of proof is on him to be mafkia hachazaka as an ashes ish. Another way of saying it is that since he didn't deliver the get, or shall we say he delivered in a way that she may have access to the get, maybe she doesn't have access to the get, so he really is responsible for putting her in this state of being a Safek Grusha. Mm-hmm. And as a result, what mizonos can she get? She can't even marry anybody because she's a Safek Eishes Ish. So in this case, the Chacham are going to say that he has to pay mizonos. Now normally, mizonos is tachas mitziosa. That's a Mishnah Masechta Ksuvos in the fourth Perek. Every part of the ksuba has a quid pro quo in order to create a marriage relationship that's harmonious. So she'll bring in all the mitzias that she finds. He'll pay her mizonos. And now, here's a funny situation. She's a Safek Grusha. Rav Zera insists that he, the Baal, still has to pay mizonos. And now, in that sense, the ksuba should really still be activated. Still, we should be chal. If she's collecting mizonos, what right does she have to collect the mitzia? The mitzia should now accrue to him because of this quid pro quo relationship. So now the Mishnah tells me, no, that she could be zocha in the mitzia for herself, despite the fact that the husband still has to supply mizonos. And what's the reason for that? Time of my Omer Rabban. Why did the Rabban say mitzias isha labayla? It's a harmonious relationship between him and her, that he's supporting her, and therefore she has to give up her rights to a mitzia. That's also kehechi delovit hevilei eva, that he shouldn't resent the fact that she's collecting these mitzias. He's digging into his pocket, writing out checks on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis to support her, and then she has the chutzpah filing a mitzia and keeping it to herself. That's not fair. But here, once he gave her a get, again, even though it's a suffix whether the get was chal, but perhaps the Maisa Gerishin alone is going to change the rules of the game here. Again, he can't pater himself up from his onus because he's the zhlub, pardon the expression, who put her into this situation where she can't get married. But Islay Eva V'Eva, he's already made the move of indicating that this marriage is gone, it's over, it's on the rocks, and therefore there's already a sin of gedolah. We have the Eva. The Eva is a given. We don't have to try to prevent Eva in this situation. And therefore the Mishnah is mechadesh that although he has the chiyuvim, she doesn't have the counter chiyuvim. In other words, he has this original chazaka of being chayv b'mizonos, and the reason for that is because he is in the framework of marriage, he's responsible for mizonos, even though now he wants to divorce her, but until she has the possibility of getting remarried, he still retains his cheskas chiyuv on mizonos. But as far as mitziyasa, the mitziyasa was only a separate takana mishum eva to pay him up so that the marriage remains harmonious. Once he's indicated that he doesn't want this marriage, that this marriage is over, he wants to give her a get, then we no longer have Eva. If we no longer have Eva, we go back to the original premise that a woman should be zoch in her own mitzia. We only took her out of her independent yad for mitzia because he, the Baal, was paying of his onos, and we wanted to avoid Eva. But once there's a get, we don't have to worry about Eva. Then we go back to the original position of mitzia soleatzma. She has a yad to be zoch.
But we're saying that or every case in the Bereshis, thing, the Bereshis was the responsibility of the Baal.
Correct.
We cannot think of a case where
where maybe she was responsible for it.
It was an onus of some sort.
Again, I would still insist on my other logic that there's a cheskas issues, and until we know for a fact that she's divorced, she still has a cheskas eishus ish, and therefore she could collect mizonos. Again, there's no eva.
Yeah, so yeah, there is a case of I'm not seeing the suffix mama lahakdal, perhaps.
Right. I would say suffix mama lahakdal means when he never had a chiyuv mama. Correct. So, for example, any yadam
paratiyah. So
any yadam paraticha, which is a sugin ksubis on daf, I think it's Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, wherever it is over there, and there Tosus says the difference between any yadam im is chayavti. So there's bari v'shema la bari yadav. So Tosus says la bari yadav lahotzi in a case where he questions whether or not. He ever took the loan, right? The loan says, I don't remember if I took the loan or not. I remember we were talking about the loan, but I don't remember if the matan mos took place. Is then we're going to say, amotzi mechaver, the tovea, in this case, the malva, would have to prove. But Tosa says, if we know there was halva, and there's a tainus bari on behalf of the malva against the loan that he didn't pay up, the loan says, any idea, I don't know. So it's a sophie. So here we're going to say Amotzi Mechavel of Araya the other way, the other direction, that the Lova has now the proof, the burden of proof to prove that. That's what I would say. But you know what? I think it's kedai for us to look up the Rambam and see exactly how he paskins in this case. So do we have? Can I trouble you, John? Maybe for a Rambam Hilchas Gerushin. Because it's always a good idea to look this up. The only thing is, I'm wondering I'm wondering if the Rambam is actually in Hilchas Gerushin. Just let me think for a sec. Where's the Ein Mishpat? Do we have the Ein Mishpat here? Just 1 second. I'm hoping. Oh, here it is. Hey. Oh, I made a big mistake. Zelav Aveda. The Rambam doesn't have this in Gerish. I thought this would be in Gerish. So sorry.
That's alright.
Apologize.
That's
Hilchas Zelav Aveda is in Ezekiel. So let's just see where it is. Hey. Shom, he writes. Shom, I think, is Perik. If you could open up to Perik Yud Zion. Migzela Vaveda Yud Zayin Halacha Yud Gimel. Now 17:13. If we can find that. But I have a feeling the Rambam is not going to talk about our case. But let's see if I'm. Hopefully I'm wrong, and we'll find the Rambam that's appropriate. Any luck? Anything about Megureshis there? Or yeah. Suffolk Megureshis? Yeah? Oh, great.
I think so.
So where was it? Perek Yitzayin Aloch Yud Gimel?
Yeah.
Mitzias b'no ubito asmuchar al shulchano. Okay, this requires a lot of work here. Mitzias bito anara. Fine. Mitzias avdo v'shivchaso. Oh, Mitzias ishto. Shehi Megureshes v'eino Megureshes Kol Elu HaMetzios Einon Shalo. So I would have to assume Einon Shalo in this case means that she could be Zohar in the Metziah for herself. Again, the reason why the Rambam uses the language of Einon Shalo is because he wants to take care of the case of a of an Eved. Where's the case of an Eved here in the Rambam? Don't tell me he doesn't have Eved. That would be disappointing. Is there a tziyun in the Ein Mishpat to Rambam Hilchas Avadim? Let's just see. Hilchas Avadim Avdo Vishivchaso. So far, I'm not finding it here. Let's just see again. Kigon Ishlokish. Oh boy. Okay. Oh, here it is. I found it. Mitzias Avdo Vishivchos Aknanim is Harel Shalom. And Mitzias Ishto is Harel Shalom because he's Chayv Mizonos. Oh, now it gets Mitzias Avdo Vishivchos Ivrim. Ah, so what's the case of Shivchaso? Well, let's go through it again, one more time. If she's already has Shtei Saras, then she's not a Shivcha. So it's got to be before she has Shtei Saras. And if it's before Shtei Saras and her father died, then at least according to Reish Lakish, she goes out L'cheir. So that can't be a possibility. So let's assume her father's still alive. Now, if her father's still alive and she doesn't have Shtei Saras, then for sure the Mitzvah goes to the father. So that's why he says, Ein and Shalom. Ein Shalom meaning that since she's in her father's Rishus and she's an Omevriya, therefore she, right, because she doesn't have Shtei Saras, so therefore she doesn't give, so to speak, the Metziah to her Adon. He has no rights because the father's rights usurp or what word can I use? Overtake the rights of the Adon. So therefore the Rambam has to use the language of Ein Shalom. But certainly in this case of Mitzias HaIshto Shehi Megureshes V'Eino Megureshes, it means that she's Zocheh L'Atzma. I mean, there's no father over here in the picture. Now, I don't see that the Rambam tells you why there was a suffix here. If you ask me, the Rambam is not operating with some sort of a knas, so to speak, on, you know, that we we penalize the husband and force him to give a mizonos because he was guilty of putting her into this state of a suffix. I don't see that in the Rambam. The Rambam is just saying suffix megureshes, suffix ain't megureshes. Imagine if he sent the get with a shliach and the shliach nebuch was gestorben, so we don't know if he gave the get or he didn't give the get. You know, you can think of many cases of a suffix gerishin. So he didn't know if it was get was written lishma or not lishma. So the Rambam seems to have a blanket statement that in all these cases, despite the fact that he, the husband, has to continue to pay him his onos, but there's no eva, therefore mitzios aliatzim.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Again, I think there may be two interpretations of this Gemara. Let me just see if Rashi makes any clear statement here. Sufik Megureshes, Kigon Shizark La Get, Sufik Karv Lo, Sufik Karv Lo, Rishusa Rabim. So Rashi gives that case. I mean, maybe Rashi's just giving one case. Let me just see one more time. Baila Chayev Bizonoseh. Ah, so Rashi doesn't even tell us why the Baal is Chayev Bizonos. So I have here the Masifta. For some reason, without quoting any sources, he writes the following: Kevan Shehimu Keves Li Nase Biglalo. Sounds like a knas. Chayev Lazunos. I don't know where he got that from. I don't see that in Rashi. Maybe he's trying to justify why Rashi had to come up with this particular Sufik Gerishin. I don't know. Okay, Rabbi. So now we get to the real kishkas of shtaris. Now, every shtar, as you know, is made based on what's called tfisas balashtar, that the balashtar is holding on to the shtar. So, for example, let's take the case of the malva holding on to a shtar milva. The Mishnah says at the end of Bava Basra that kos shtar la malva. Right, so the Lova commissions the writing of the Shtar, the Malva is not even there. So the Edom are signed on the Shtar, they didn't see the Matan Mos, but the answer is it's Tfisas Baal Shtar. But what happens if you find a Shtar? Now there are two dimensions to this question. First of all, if you find a Shtar, do you return it to the Malva and assume that he dropped it? Or shall we say, let's return it to the Lova, because let's assume that the reason why the Malva doesn't have the Shtar is because he gave the Shtar back to the Lova when the Lova paid his Chov. The Lova unfortunately dropped the Shtar. So you don't want to necessarily give the Shtar back to the Malva. That's already in Hilchas Rayas. Now you can ask a different question. What's the status of a Shtar as a Chefs Shal Mamon? You know, the shtar itself is written on klav, and chveis, the klav is worth a couple of shekels. I don't know exactly how much. And lechora in Dini Hashavas Aveda, it has halacha of a davar sheish bo siman. I mean, how many shtaris, you know, can you testify, say exactly, Chananya ben Shmuel and Leah bas Rachel, or whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? So maybe that should be mechayev you in hashava, but the only problem is although you might have a chiv hashava, but you don't know to whom to return the shtar. Should return it to the malva and it'll collect the chov, or should return it to the lova and assume that it fell from the lova's hands? So the Mishnah comes up with a very unique formulation, something that's almost counterintuitive. We never guessed in a million years. It all depends if yesh ba'en achrayis nechosim. In other words, what did the Lova commission to the Eden when he's told him to write this shtar? If he was meshabed his nechasim, he accepted upon himself not only a shivat aguf, which is always the case by definition in a shtar mil in any alva, even a mil bal peh, or was he meshabed also his nechasim? In which case, he said to the malva that I will guarantee your loan, and if in event that I default on the loan and I don't have money to pay you back, then you'll be able to collect from my mishubadim, which means that even if I sell the karka, you can go to the lekuchos and collect your chov from the lekuchos. So since the shtar has a chrayus, lo yachzir, you should not return the shtar to the malva, because the lokeach is now going to lose. The lokeach purchased a piece of land from the lova, and now the malva, in theory at least, and maybe even in reality, in practice, he's going to confiscate that karka from the hands of the lokeach. And the Mishnah gives an answer. The Mishnah says the answer is Shad Bezdin Nifroim Mehem. Bezdin is going to make sure that with this shtar, the malva, if need be, because the lova has no bnei chori, he's going to collect from the lekuchos. Now, if the shtar is possible, and again, if you look at the shtar, it looks like a perfectly excellent shtar. Everything's in great condition. The edim are signed. It's crystal clear that the lova borrowed money from the malva. But the only one problem is that there's no what? There's no tfisas bala shtar, because the shtar was found in the street. And now we have a real serious psul or a suffix psul in the shtar. And now what? Bezdin is going to allow the malva to regain ownership over the shtar, and there's a possibility that this shtar is already a shtar parua, and now the malva is going to collect from the lekuchos.
Don't they cut the shtar or something when it's parua or something?
Oh, you're asking the following question. In other words, we found the shtar. We're afraid that maybe it's a shtar parua. Why didn't the lova rip up the shtar? So I think the reason why the lover doesn't rip up the shtar is for two reasons. Once he may want another alva, and then now you have to know about nimchal shibuda, but it could be, let's say, if he, within a certain time period, he can reuse the alva, reactivate the same shtar. Or alternatively, it's a little more balabatish to say the shtar is worth money. And it was the lover who paid the shkar sofer, and therefore he owns the shtar. What's he going to do with the shtar? I don't know. He'll use it... Lots of alpitzlichus, or whatever you use it for, it's worth something. And therefore, the lova should demand a shover, otherwise known as the simpon, which is a receipt, with two edim signed that we testify to the fact that the malva told us to write up this shtar and give it to the lova. And that's going to be proof in the lova's hands. But now we're facing a situation where the lova doesn't have a shover. And all we find is the shtar alva. So is it possible that the lova got back the shtar when he paid up the chov?
Lost it.
Yeah, and he was careless with the shtar. He may have gotten the shovar and he was careless with the shovar. Right, as well. So he's left there, you know, he's naked, so to speak. He has nothing to prove
so
that
he... We'd have to assume two things. Number one, the lova lost the shtar. Number two, he lost the shovar.
Yeah, he lost two things. Maybe.
What we know here is that the shtar is lost.
Correct, and once we know the shtar is lost, we hesitate in returning the shtar to the malva. Now, you might say, well, why should I return the shtar to the malva? He's going to use it against the lova. But we're going to see in the Mishnah that the Mishnah's not worried about that. The Mishnah's only worried about the lekuchos.
Right.
Because it's a shtar sheyesh bo achrayis. And this is going to lead us to the whole famous sugya of Achrayis Tos Sofer. Right.
That's implicit.
Right, that it could be, you don't even have to write the Achrayis in the shtar.
Right.
Oh, says the Mishnah, Aval, Ein Bo'en Achrayis Nechosim, if this shtar doesn't have Achrayis, then the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion, how can you have a shtar without Achrayis? But anyway,
he doesn't have a karka. The lova didn't have karka.
No. It means that the shtar itself is not powerful enough to collect from the lekuchos. Let's say, for example, maybe it's a what we call a ksav yado. In other words, it's an IOU note. So again, if it's ein v'em achrayis nechasim, so there's no shibud that was created, that was generated by the shtar. Is then yachzir, we can return the shtar to the malva, she'ein bezin nifraim behem, because bezin is not going to collect with the shtar from the lekuchos. Now, you and I have to ask the following question. Forget about the lekuchos. Why am I interested in the lekuchos here? Yeah, all of a sudden, we're up in arms because the loss of the lekuchos. we should be up in arms because of the loss of the lova. Who says that it was the malva who dropped the shtar? Maybe it was the lova who dropped the shtar, and he had already paid up the chol. So all this is divrei Rabbi Meir. So, you know, the half of nechama that we have is the chacham reject this, and the chacham will say, lo we're not going to return the shtar to the malva because that means that the malva will be able to collect his chov and ifraimihem. Or alternatively, it could be the chacham agreed to Rabbi Meir that we have no problem returning the shtar to the malva. We're only worried about the lekuchos, but in all cases, the lekuchos stand to lose, and that's based on the. That's based on the principle of achrayus tos sofer, meaning that. So, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Rashi doesn't really say much, but in any event, in the note here, he quotes the Ritva, and the Ritva says that the shitas chacham here is based on achrayus tos sofer, which means that every single shtar milva, whether the achrayus is written in the shtar and signed by the edim or not, is collectible from the lekuchos. Now, therefore, how can we return this shtar to the malva and it'll end up collecting from the lekuchos? We have to be worried about the hefsed al lekuchos. But the real question is, how can you return a shtar to the malva? The whole issue of the Mishnah revolves around the lekuchos.
Because the lova lost it. I mean, why should the lekuchos suffer because the lova lost the shtar?
Correct, but on the other hand, maybe the malva lost the shtar, you know, and we don't know either way. So if the malva lost the shtar, I can understand giving the shtar back to the malva, but we don't know what happened here. Maybe it was the lova lost the shtar. So in other words, what we're going to have to assume is that we have independent evidence that establishes the alva. Correct? So that's what the Gemara says. But my askinon, what's the case? Elam, if you're going to tell me kshechay of moda that the lov is moda, he has to pay. So ki yesh bev nachrais nechosam amai lo yachzer. What are you worried about? You're worried about the shtar and the fact that the malva is going to use the shtar to collect from the lekuchas. Why shouldn't he be able to do so? See, the Gemara is not worried about what you call kinunya. The Gemara is not afraid that maybe the lova is in cahoots with the malva and they're going to split the goods because they'll use the shtar to collect for the lekuchas, and then they'll split the karak. They have an unwritten, you know, agreement. Hopefully it's not in an email, because once you put something in an email, somebody will get access to the email. You know, Big Brother is watching you. But they made a kinunya between the two. So the Gemara is not worried about that. The Gemara thinks if the lova is moda that he never got back the shtar and the malva therefore dropped the shtar, then we assume that the lova has to pay up the chov. So the Gemara says, if that be the case, what are you afraid of? You're afraid of the malva getting back the shtar? Let the malva collect for the lekuchos. Amai lo yachzir. The lova is moda. If the lova is claiming that he dropped the shtar after he paid up the chov, is kiyem by machrayus, even if there's no achrayus, there's no possibility of collecting from the lekuchos, is amay yatzir, why do we give the shtar back to the malva? The malva is going to collect from the lova, and there's a 50% chance that the lova dropped the shtar after he paid up the chov. Nehi de lo gavi b'mishabdim nechori migvele, he can force the lova to pay for out of pocket. And who says that we want to give him back that shtar? Once you give the shtar back to the hands of the malva, it's like the most dangerous thing as far as the money is concerned. He'll collect the money. Li'olam kishachayev moda v'hocha hainu taima. Why are we afraid of what? Of giving back the shtar? The chayshin and shema kosav lilvos benisan. So this is where we want to stop, because this is a very complicated but a new sugya, and B'li Neder will pick this up tomorrow. Okay then? Mm-hmm.